Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Yud Dalet, and we are 14 lines from the top of daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, the two dots, Smichas Kenim. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Acheinu B'nei Yisrael and Asuna Matzara Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Refuah Shalema for Rechama Rivka Bas Rachel, Zisel Rachel Bas Alta Frumit, Yehonatan Eitan Ben Batsheva Bracha, Shlomo Zalman Ben Leah, and Rivka Hila Hida Bas Rachel. So we're moving along here in the beginning of Maseches Sanhedrin, discussing the very long Mishnah on Daf Beis, which introduced different things that require Bezdin, and specifically how many Dayanim they would require. Today's Daf is going to begin with the halachos of smichas kenim, and from there the Gemara is going to get into a discussion of smicha. So the Mishnah said smichas kenim. There's a machlokes Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. How many dayanim it requires? According to Reb Shimon, it requires 3 dayanim. According to Reb Yehuda, it requires 5 dayanim. What's smichas kenim? So Rashi and the Mishnah spoke out based on the Gemara that we're about to learn. It's describing the par helam davo shel tzibur. So we know that if somebody does an aver b'shoikik, that had he done b'mezid, he would have been chayiv karis. The halacha is, psukim in the Torah, he had to bring a carbon chatas. What would be if the majority of Klal Yisrael would do an aver b'shoikik, that had they done b'mezid, they would have been chayiv karis, and they did the avera b'shoigig because Bezdin paskined that something was mutter, where it turns out that really Bezdin had made a mistake. So the halach is that instead of each individual person that did this avera bringing his own carbon chatas, the entire tzibur brings a chatas in unison. It's known as the par helam davar shel tzibur. It's a par. It's a carbon chatos, and it's being brought by the tzibur because of a helam davar, because of some mistake that Bezdin made when they issued a psak halacha, and it has a very unique place in the world of kachin in terms of the nuances of exactly how this carbon was brought. Now, karbonos required smicha. It's one of the dinim of a carbon. The bala carbon would come, and he would have to lean his entire body, all his weight, on the carbon. It's something that's a mitzvah to do when you bring a carbon. It's also one of the things that are not ma'akiv b'dievet the carbon. Regardless, the par helam davar shel tzibur was a carbon that was being brought on behalf of the tzibur. It too required smicha, and the Mishnah says that the smicha was done al yedei a quote-unquote bezd. It's mentioned right here in the beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin. How many dayanim, how many zekanim engaged in this smicha? That's the machloikis between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. According to Reb Shimon, it was 3. According to Reb Yehuda, it was 5. Zokta Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon. It says in the Torah, V'samchu ziknei ho'eda es yedeyim al roish ha'par lefnei Hashem, V'shachat es ha'par lefnei Hashem. This pasuk is the makar to smicha by skenim on the par helam davar shel tzibur, and as we'll see, this is also the battleground for the machlokes Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, whether it's 3 zekanim or whether it's 5. So again, it says v'samchu ziknei yachol. You would have thought ziknei hashok, v'samchu ziknei. I don't know, 2 older people, or 3 older people, or 5 older people. The point is, the word ziknei sounds like it's just older people. Even ziknei hashuk, tamadoy mar eda, no. It says, v'samchu ziknei ha'eda. Eda means they have to be dayanim. They have to be part of a Sanhedrin. E eda yochel ketani eda. You would think that maybe they could be members even of the Sanhedrin ketana, right? They're considered eda. What's the makar that the Sanhedrin ketana was made up of 23 dayanim? The shaftu ha'eda, the itzilu ha'eda, right? It's all based on the word eda. So you would think that, okay, ziknei hashuk is not enough. They have to be chashev eskenim. Beseder, they'll be members of the Sanhedrin ketana. Talmud Loimar, it says ha'eda. The samchu ziknei ha'eda, we learn from here, miyuchadim shebe eda. So the ones that are going to do smicha on the par halam davar shel tzibur have to be zikenim, but not just ziknei hashuk, not even just ziknei Sanhedrin Ketana. They have to be Ziknei Ha'eda. They had to be members of the Sanhedrin Ha'agod. Okay, V'kamehin. How many members? You don't need the entire Sanhedrin. So how many? Yes, says the Braisa, moving along. V'samchu Shnaim. The word V'samchu is a Lashon Rabim, which suggests two. Ziknei is also a Lashon Rabim Shnaim. Suggests another two. V'im Bez and Shakol. You can never have an even number. So it's 2 plus 2. Oh, has to be an odd number. You end up with 5. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Azayot Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says Ziknei Shnayim. The word Ziknei means two. Ve'im Bez Din Shakol, and you can't have an even number. Thus, Moisifin Aleim Oid Echad Harein Kan Shloisha, and that's how you end up with 3. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's 5. V'samchu 2. Ziknei 2 can never be an even number. So, what's the nearest odd number? It's going to end up being 5. According to Reb Shimon, we only darshan Ziknei. We don't darshan V'samchu. Ziknei is 2. Again, can't be an even number. What's the closest law? Number 3. That's how you end up with 3. So the Braisa gives us the reasons, the makar, to Shitas Reb Shimon and Shitas Reb Yehuda that were mentioned in the Mishnah respectively. Says the Gemara, Reb Shimon oksiv V'samchu. Reb Yehuda darshan V'samchu 2. Ziknei 2. 4. Reb Shimon only darshan Ziknei. Why doesn't he darshan V'samchu? So the Gemara says, Kusahumi boile legufe. V'samchu is not extra to be used to teach me the amount of dayanim that are going to be involved, but rather I need the samchu to teach me the ikar halacha, the halacha of smicha. Meaning the word the samchu is for sure not extra. Al ze anudanim, the pasuk's coming to teach me the mitzvah of simcha. And the plural of the samchu is also not extra, because being that it says ziknei, so we know already it's going to be multiple people that are going to do it. According to Rav Shimon, it's going to be 3, so the samchu has to be b'lashon rabbim. So there's nothing extra in the word the samchu. The word is not extra because it teaches me the mitzvah. And the plural of it is not extra because there's multiple people that are going to do this. Sahumi boile legufe, therefore I can't use v'samchu. Rabbi Yehuda, how are you going to respond to that? Legufe loy tzarech, you don't need v'samchu to teach me anything. The im kain, the loy asu, v'samchu l'drasha. Because if the word v'samchu is not coming to teach me a drasha, and all it's coming to teach me is the mitzvah of smicha, you don't need v'samchu at all. I would know smicha without it saying v'samchu. Sounds interesting. How would you know that? Because lichtoiv, let the pasuk say ziknei ho'edo yideya mal rosh ha'par. And what else does it mean? Obviously, it means smicha. So without saying v'samchu, I would have known v'samchu. Thus, the word v'samchu is extra, and it's a lashon rabbim, and that's how I know an extra two zikenim had to be involved in the smicha. Reb Shimon, iksiv hachi. If it would have said ziknei ha'edu yedeim al rosh ha'par, and it would not have said v'samchu, havamina, I would have thought ma'al. Okay, it's saying something about the hands of ziknei ha'edu on the head of the par, but maybe al doesn't mean literally on it, but maybe you know what al means? It means besamach, and there's a precedent for that, that al could sometimes mean besamach, and if that's the case, I wouldn't know that the mitzvah was smicha. Smicha means literally on the par. If it would not say the word besamach, I would think maybe besamach, not literally on, therefore the word besamach is not extra. If it's not extra, can't teach me any dayana. Rabbi Yehuda, Reb Shimon saying, good, without besamach, maybe al means samach. No, come on. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's poshet that if it would just say ziknei ha'edu yedeim al rosh hapar, I would know already that it means smicha, and now I would know it based on gzeirah shav, because it says the word roish regarding smicha by the carbon oil, and now it says the word roish regarding something by the par helam davar shel tzibur. Just like by the oilo, it means smicha. So to here, I would know it means smicha as well. So it comes out the whole word v'samchu is actually for Reb Shimon, why is the word v'samchu needed? Why not learn smicha from the gzei reshava roish roish me'oilo? Says Reb Shimon, that lo yigama roish roish me'oilo. He did not have the Mesoira to learn this Gzeira Shava, and as a result, you don't have a Gzeira Shava. So we know in order to darshan Gzeira Shava, there had to be a Mesoira. So Rabbi Yehuda has a Mesoira, Roish Roish Meyoila. Rabbi Shimon doesn't have a Mesoira, Roish Roish Meyoila. Because Rabbi Yehuda has the Mesoira, Roish Roish Meyoila, the whole word Vesamchu is extra. What's it coming to teach me? Two Dayanim. According to Rabbi Shimon, there is no Gzeira Shava, Roish Roish Meyoila. Thus, the word Vesamchu is coming to teach me the Ikr Mitzvah Smicha. This is the source to the Machlokes, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Whether Smicha Skenim is 3, or whether it's 5. Again, Rav Shimon holds it's 3. Why? It says, Ziknei, Lashon Rabbim, Ein bezdin shakul moisif an alem oyd echad harei kan shloisha. Rabbi Yehuda says five because it says v'samchu and it says zikne. Samchu is lashon rabin, which is two. Zikne is again lashon rabin, which is two. Again, ein bezdin shakul moisif an alem oyd echad. And what are you left with? You're left with five. What's the nekudas amachloikis? Whether you darshin v'samchu or not. What's that tolian? Whether I would know the pasuk means smicha had it not said the word v'samchu. How would you know it? Let it say zikne edi yadeim al roish hapar. Doesn't that itself mean smicha? Maybe not. Maybe it means al reish apar or samach lapar. What is that tolian? It's tolian whether you gama reish meyayla or you're not gama reish meyayla. Either way, the Gemara now is going to bring a braisa that mentions smicha skenim. It also mentions something else, another type of smicha, a better known type of smicha, which is going to then trigger a digression. It's not really a digression because the Gemara is going to be learning up this braisa, which is me'inyan le'inyan ba'isinyan to the sugyas that we're learning. But in this quote unquote, using the word loosely, digression, the Gemara is going to bring a classic Gemara, one of the epic Gemaras of all time, which is going to lead us to some festerade be'ezer Hashem. But either way, Tanu, we learned the braisa, smicha, v'smicha skenim begimel. So the Mishnah discussed smicha skenim. The Braisa discusses smicha skenim, yeah, and smicha. Says the Gemara, my smicha, my smicha skenim. What is smicha, and what is smichas skenim? Now, we know what smicha skenim is, because we discussed that in the Mishnah, and we just had the ensuing Gemara. And really, the question is, what exactly is smicha? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said, mismach sabi, that you want to know what smicha is? It means mismach sabi, it means giving smicha to people. Meaning, if you have someone that is a learned person, and you want to give him smicha, so that Rashi says, you can now refer to him as a Rebbe. He's going to be a proper rabbi. That's what Mismach Sabi is. That's what Smicha of the Brice is. And that requires three people. Amalei Abayi to Rabbi Yosef. Abayi to Rabbi Yosef. Mismach Sabi b'shloish minol. What's the makar that to give someone Smicha requires three Dayon. Is it learned out from the following pasuk? It says, Vayismoich es yadav olav. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Smicha to Yeshua Benot. This is in Parashas Pinchas. Yachye b'zay tiski b'chad. Moshe Rabbeinu was one person, not three. So one should be enough. Don't tell me Moshe b'makom shivim v'chad koi. No, Moshe Rabbeinu maybe physically was one person. But let's be honest. Moshe Rabbeinu is not one person. Moshe Rabbeinu was really 71 people. Rashi. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader and Moshe Rabbeinu was shackled to the entire Sanhedrin HaGadol. So if you're going to tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he's one person, he's really 71. Well, then you should require 71. Where do you come up with smicha being three? If the makar to smicha, the one place you find it in the Torah is Moshe Rabbeinu gives smicha to Yeshua Benon, then either one person or 71. Meaning, you want to say Moshe is one person? I hear. You want to tell me he shakul kineged the Sanhedrin HaGadol? Then you should eat 71. But where do you come up with three? And the Gemara says kasha, which again, in Aramaic, is a way of saying, I hear. As it relates to doing smicha on a Rebbe, do you do that with your hand or not? Smichas skenim, as in smicha on a carbon, that's done with your hand, right? That's done with your body weight. What about smicha on a Rebbe? Was that done with the hand or not? Amalei. So he told him back again. Who asked the question? Rav Acha Brei, the Rav asked this question to Rav Ashi. So Amalei is Rav Ashi. He responds and he tells him, Samchem le bishma. Nah, you don't have to physically put your hand on him. All you do is you lean on him by giving him a unique name. Karile Rebbe, you call him Rebbe. V'yavale reshusa lemeidin dine knosses, and you give him reshus to be able to paskin dine knosses. Incidentally, it's kedai to speak this out. Rashi, the last Rashi here in the Yomid, it's a little bit of a long Rashi, which takes us back to the beginning of the Masechta, says that when we talk about smicha in the context of a Rebbe, in the context of a dayan, it's what the Gemara referred to in the beginning of the Masechta as a mumcha. So you remember, dine mamanis b'shloisha, gzeilis v'chavolis b'shloisha. What's the difference between your classic dine momenes such as hoidois v'alvois and gzeilos v'chavolois? One is just three dayanim, and the other one is even three mumchim. What's the taitch of a mumcha? So Rashi says it means someone that got smicha. If you look back at Rashi on daf beis amid beis, dibra maschul mumchin, Rashi says smuchin. So mumchin and smuchim are really interchangeable. The bottom line is that smicha skenim, as in the smicha that was done by the ziknei o'ed on the parallel davar shel tzibur, was done b'shloisha, and smicha, as in making somebody a mumcha, that's something that was also done b'shloisha. How do you know smichas kena b'shloisha? Well, it's really machlokes Rishim Rabbi Yehuda. Is it 3 or 5? It's learned out from the Samchu. It's learned out from Ziknei. You do learn Rosh Rosh Me'ayla. You don't learn Rosh Rosh Me'ayla. How do you know smicha as it relates to making someone a mumcha b'shloisha? That's the Gemara's like kasha. Because the one mekart to smicha that we have is Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu is either 1 or he's 71. But in terms of it being 3, that's taka something that's sarach bi. But either way, how many dayanim do you need to give somebody smicha? 3, says the Gemara. V'chad lo yisamach. Has to be 3. One person can't give smicha. V'am Rabbi Yehuda ma'an Rav. Rabbi Yehuda send the name of Rav. Bram zachar oysa ish latoiv. Rabbi Yehuda ma'an v'shamay. You should know that there's a certain person, and this person is mamish zachar latoiv. You want to know who that person is? It's Rabbi Yehuda ma'an v'shamay. Who were it not for him, the shtakhu dine knosses mi'israel, dine knosses would have been forgotten. As if this one person made sure that dine knosses would not be forgotten. Afraid the Gemara, the shtakhu nigrasinu. How would dine knosses be forgotten? Meaning, if you forget it, learn it, right? It sounds like this person did something without him. Dine Knossos would have been forgotten. It's hard to understand. So the Gemara says, Eli, no, what it means is, batul Dine Knossos mi Yisrael. Would not for this one person, the Zachar Latoiv, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Shemoy, Dine Knossos would have been batul. Meaning, there would have been no more smicha. Now, just to appreciate this, in order for someone to have gotten smicha in the real sense, he would have had to have received smicha from someone that received smicha, from someone that received smicha, going all the way back to Yeshua and Benun, who received smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu. There has to be a shalsheles, an unbroken chain, in order to have a proper smicha. So someone today that gets a yoyra yoyra, yate yate, yodin yodin, it's not smicha in the real sense. The real smicha, to be a dayan mumcha, to be able to paskin dine knosses, to be able to sin on a Sanhedrin, whether it's a Sanhedrin Kitan or a Sanhedrin Gedoyl, to be able to give Malkus, etc., 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 you would have had to have received smicha from someone that received smicha all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So it seems that there was some critical time where it looked like there were going to be no musmachim, which meant that the whole chain of smicha would have been completely chopped off. But because of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, who's Zachar LaToiv, it was not bottle. What happened? What's the rest of the story? Once upon a time, Gazer Malchus Arisha, Gzeir Al Yisrael, the Roman Empire, they issued a very, very bad decree on the Jews. They said the following, any person that is caught giving somebody smicha will be killed. And any person that's caught receiving smicha will be killed. Not only will the soymich and the nismach be killed, but the city in which the smicha takes place will be wiped out. Not only the city, but even the tchum, the whole ruach of that city will be completely wiped out. He realized this is a big problem. And he felt he had to give smicha because the smicha had to perpetuate to the next generation. Halach, he went, he sat between two big mountains, between two big cities, and it was between two Tchumei Shabbos. Meaning he went to like a no man's land. He went to a place where he wasn't in a city, he wasn't in a Tchum Shabbos. So like this, if he would get caught, all the people and all the collateral damage wouldn't play itself out. What were these two cities? Ben Usho, the Shafran, the Samach Sham Chamisha Skenim, and he gave smicha over there to 5 skin in the Elohim. You might have heard of them. Rav Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Shimon, as in Rav Shimon Raichai, Rav Yoisi, Rav Blasman Shemur, Rav Avi, Moisif, Afra, Rav Nechemia. Either way, Kivin Shekiro, Oifen. Behem, when the enemies discovered what was going on, Amar Lehem, so he told him, Bonai Rutsu, run, meaning go save your life, because you know the decree, they're going to kill you. Amar Lehem, they said, Rabbi, Mate Olecha, we're going to run, but what's going to be with you? Amar Lehem, he told him, Arini Mutal Lefneim, Ke'even She'en Lehoifchen, says, I'm too old. And I'm like a stone that nobody can move. Meaning, for me to run, it's already too spät. But you run. Amru, it said, Leizazum Misham, Achenatsu Bol Sholish Meus Lumbir Shal Barzel. Before he had a chance to move, they threw 300 spears into his body, Vasu Kikfara, and they made so many holes in him that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's holy body literally looked like a sieve. Incidentally, we'll talk about this in the raid, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was one of the Asara Arugei Malchus, and if this story conjures those types of hergeshen, it's supposed to, he's one of the 10 martyrs. But the Gemara brought this story for Akasha. The kasha that the Gemara brought was, is that true? V'chad lo yisamach? One person can't give smicha? Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava gave smicha to these 5, some say 6 talmidim, but the bottom line is, you see that one person can give smicha. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, achrina have about that. You have to say, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava really had other people with him. V'haydu l'chash, how come they don't get a shout out? Mishum k'foy doy de Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, because of COVID, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. It's interesting. because of the cover of Yudim and Bava, we don't want to mention the other two. But the other two apparently were such great people, right? They were Moshe Nefesh, the same way Rabbi Ben Bava and the Talmidim were. But Afilu Hachi, Mishum Kfoide, the Rabbi Yudim and Bava, they are not mentioned, says the Gemara. One sidebar. Rabbi Yudim and Bava Samche, is that true that Rabbi Meir got smicha from Rabbi Yudim and Bava? V'omer Rabbi Barbachan and Rabbi Yechon, Kolomir Rabbi Meir, Loi Samche, Rabbi Akiva, Eni Alotayo. Anyone who thinks that Rabbi Akiva is not the one that gave smicha to Rabbi Meir is making a mistake. See, it's Rabbi Akiva that gave smicha to Rabbi Meir, not Rabbi Yudim and Bava. So the Gemara says, Samche, Rabbi Akiva, V'loi Kippa. What happened was Rabbi Akiva gave smicha to Rabbi Meir, but nobody was mekabel it. And the reason is, says Rashi, three lines from the top, Lefisha Adayin Hoya Bacher, because he was still a Bacher. What happened was, Rabbi Ben Bava gave him smicha, the kibble, and they were mekabel. So really, Rabbi Meir got smicha twice. He got smicha from Rabbi Akiva, and he also got smicha from Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. On the topic of smicha, Amir Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, "Ain't smicha b'chutz laretz. There's no smicha in chutz laretz." The Gemara says, "My ain't smicha. What does that mean? Even though he dined the dinik nasses klal b'chutz laretz, doesn't mean that even someone that has smicha, he can use the smicha in chutz laretz." So again, you need smicha. That's the certification you need in order to be able to pask in certain shilas. So did Rabbi Shua ben Levi mean that smicha doesn't work? Ain't smicha b'chutz laretz. Ain't a moyo b'chutz laretz. So you can't paskin dinei knosses in chutz laretz. You can't do dinei nefashis in chutz laretz. You can't give malchus in chutz laretz, etc., etc. But the Gemara says it's not true, because for Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, this Mishnah is a mesechtes makis. Sanhedrin neyeges bein ba'aretz bein chutz laretz. That the Sanhedrin was noyeg in chutz laretz. So clearly, these things, such as dinei knosses, b'chura, you could do in chutz laretz. Elo, you know what it means? The lo yisam chinam b'chutz laretz. It means we physically don't issue the smicha in chutz laretz. So the granting of the smicha had to be done in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says like this, pshita, that's pashit. Soimchin b'chutz laretz, v'nismachin ba'aretz. If the soimich, the one giving the smicha, would be in chutz laretz, and the nismach, the one receiving the smicha, would be in Eretz Yisrael, it's pashit hamrin in the light, that it wouldn't work. Because if ain't smicha b'chutz laretz, it means that the soimich, the one giving the smicha, can't be in chutz laretz. El soimchim ba'aretz, v'nismachim b'chutz laretz mai. What would be if the soimich is in Eretz Yisrael, the one giving the smicha, but the nismach, the one receiving the smicha, is in chutz laretz? Would that work, or would that not work? And the way Rashi explains the Gemara, and the way the Mefarshim explained the way Rashi explains the Gemara, the crux of the question is, does the Soimich and the Nismach have to be next to each other when the Smicha is being granted, or not? Meaning, if the Soimich and the Nismach have to be next to each other, then if the Soimich is in Eretz Yisrael and the Nismach is in Chutz Laretz, it's obviously not going to work, because if one's in Eretz Yisrael, the other one's in Chutz Laretz, well, they're clearly not next to each other. If, however, they don't have to be next to each other, so then the assumption is that it's enough that the Soimich is in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, as it relates to the requirement of Eretz Yisrael, for that you need the Soimich, and the Nismach could be in Chutz Laretz. Again, what's the question? Do the Soimich and the Nismach have to be next to each other, or do they not? So the Gemara says, Toshma, bring you a rai. Rabbi Yochanan was very much trying to give smicha to Rav Shemin bar Abba, but he couldn't make it work. They were never next to each other, and it just wasn't playing itself out. Rav Shimon ben Zirut v'chadi imei umanu Rav Yonis ben Achmoy. V'amilu Rav Yonis ben Achmoy v'chadi imei umanu Rav Shimon ben Zirut. Chad havi gabay osamchu, the one that was together Rabbi Yochanan, he gave smicha to. He couldn't give smicha to. So just hit the pause button for 1 second. What do you see from these two uvdas? That in order to give smicha, the person would have to be with you. Otherwise, he would not be able to give smicha. On this note, Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Yishia also, they were two people that Rav Yochanan very much tried giving smicha to. But just like with Rav Shemin bar Abba and Rav Shimon ben Zirud and Rabbi Yonis ben Achmoy, so it wasn't working. And have a komitzar tuva. And he was very troubled by it. Amr they told Rabbi Yochanan, Loi nitzar man. So they themselves, meaning Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yishia, told Rabbi Yochanan, don't feel bad. Why? Danam the base Eli Kasinan. Because we come from the family of Eli. How do you know that no one from the family of Eli gets smicha? Shenema, because the Pasik says, Lo yiye zokein beveischa. So we know that the family of Eli was cursed and nobody would ever live to a ripe old age. So Mora says, what does it mean, Zakin? Even Zakin Mamish doesn't mean that no one's ever going to get old. Vaksiv, there's another pasuk that says, that no one's going to live old. Rashi says, what does it mean? It means up to the age of 18. We have a rate bite from Rabbi Reuven Margolis in the last Machzor Shiurim on this. But the bottom line is, the pasuk says, what it means is smicha. And the way Rashi explains is that even though the the family of Eli was cursed and nobody would ever live long. But at the same time, we know there were exceptions to the rule. What were the exceptions to the rule? If somebody learned Torah or if somebody did Chesed, Exhibit A for that is the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Chesam Adal. For the Gemara says Abaya and Rabba, some have the gears Abaya and Rava. One lived till 40, one lived till 60. The one that was Isaac in Torah lived till 40. The one that was Isaac in Torah and in Gemilas Chasadim lived until 60. But the bottom line is that it's possible there were exceptions to the rule where maybe someone from Beis Eli could live longer. It's for that we have the next pasuk that says v'lo yizokim beveischa kol hayomim, that even if someone from the family of Eli is going to have arichas yomim, a besmicha doshoy nish, and that's what Rav Chanina, Rav Hoshia told Rav Yochanan, don't feel bad. I know you're trying to give a smicha, and every time you're about to do it, something happens. Masa sutin. It's true. We're from Beis Eli, and because from Beis Eli, that's why this is not playing itself out. More on the topic of smicha. Rav Zeira have a metam al mesbechei. Rav Zeira was hiding. He didn't want to get smicha. Dam Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar said, "Lo idam havi kavel v'kayim," because Rabbi Lazar said that a person should go dark. Kavel means milosh and afeva. Go dark v'kayim, and like this, you'll have a kiyim. So he didn't want the whole persoimus that comes along with getting smicha. Given the shabbat hadam Rabbi Lazar, but then he heard something Rabbi Lazar said: "Ein adam oyla l'gdula ella imkein moichlin loyal kol avinoisa." That a person doesn't achieve gedula unless he has mechilas avoynus. Amtzilei anafshe. So he pushed himself and he said, "You know something? I want to get smicha." This Gemara here in Sanhedrin is mentioned a little bit more by Rikhlas in Talmud Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is a Masechtas Bikurim, it's Perek Gimel Halacha Gimel. We've mentioned this Yerushalmi in the past. The Yerushalmi says as follows: Rab Zeira have a boy mimanise. V'loi boy mekabel aloi. The Olam wanted to give smicha to Rab Zeira, right? Rab Zeira in Yerushalmi is Rab Zeira without the ayin in Bavli. And he didn't want it. Katshama, but then he heard. Ahon tanyana ton. He heard the following braisa. Chacham. Chasson and Nasi Gedula Michaperes Kabbal Alay Mimasnise. When he heard that someone that becomes a Chacham, someone that becomes a Nasi, and someone that becomes a Chasson, he gets Mechilas Avoynes. Right, so we've all heard this, that a Chasson gets Mechilas Avoynes. It comes from a Yerushalmi. Rashi brings in the Chumash, by the way. But it comes from a Yerushalmi. Chacham, Chasson, and Nasi, Gedula Mechaperes. Then already, he was Mechabal. What's the Mekar to all three? So we'll just mention the one of Chacham. Mipnei Sneva Takum, V'adarta Pnei Zake. Maksiv Basre, V'chiyogar Itcha Ger, Ba'artzachem Leisayna Waisa. So the Pasuk juxtaposes the Chacham, Mipnei Seva Takum V'adarta Pnei Zokin. Right, what's a Zokin? Ze Shekana Chachma. It's an acronym. With the parish of the Ger. V'chiyogu itcha ger ba'artzachem leisaynu oisoy. And we learn ma ha-ger moichlun loyal kol avinoisov af chacham shenismana moichlun loyal kol avinoisov. A ger is moichlun loyal kol avinoisov. Ger shenis garika kon shenoyl dami. A chacham, someone that becomes a rebbe, he becomes a samuch, he becomes a dayan mumcha, someone like that, he too merits to have the same Mechilas Avoynes. We have a raid by from Reuven Margolis, also from the last Machzer, a classic on this Gemara. But the bottom line is, Reb Zeira initially didn't want to take Smicha, but then he heard that Reb Elazar said, "Ein Adam Oyla L'Gdula, Elim Kein Moichlin Loi, Al Kol Avinoisav, Amtzilei Anafshe." It was at that point he was Mekabel. The Gemara says, "Ki Samchu the Reb Zeira, when they gave Smicha to Reb Zeira, Sharu Lehachi, they sang a song. And this was the song that they sang. They said, Loi Kchal, V'loi srak, v'loi pirchus v'yal aschein. So kchal and srak are different types of makeup. Pirchus, Rashi says, is something that people put in their hair. But the bottom line is, it's not the exterior, it's not the physical beauty of a person that gives him chein. Sheker achein v'hevel ayoyfi, right? Isha yiris Hashem hi tesalo. And that's what they sing about Reb Zeira. Now, why would they sing this song to Reb Zeira? So Pashup Shad is related to the physical appearance of Reb Zeira. This is also something that we've spoken about in the past. Not for now. The Gemara says, "Ki samcha the Rab Ami or the Rab Asi." When they gave smicha to Rab Ami, Rashi Shaul Lehochi, they made up a song for him too. So it sounds like some batchin or someone who knew gramen would get up and he would sing a niggun, right? That seems to be what's playing itself out. Like you have the chusin tish, so you had this tish and they're singing something for him. So Rab Zeira's song was Sheker Achein Hevel Ayoyfi Irish Yeres Hashem Yitzalo, right? Balash and Las. What did they sing for Rav Ami? They sang from like this: Kol Min Dein V'Chol Min Dein Smuchulon. That if you're ever going to give smicha to someone, it should be people like Rav Ami and Rav Asi. Okay, what should you not do? This is all part of the niggun. Loi Sis Mechulano. Don't give smicha. Loi Misar Mitin. Now it sounds funny, but in the context of a song, I could hear it, right? It rhymes a little bit, right? Remember, this is a niggin. But the bottom line is, don't ever give smicha to someone that's misarmitin. So what's sarmitin? Rashi says, loshin smartut. It's the loshin of a shmata. So don't appoint a rabbi that's like a shmata. It's Yidua, the Rabbi Chanan, in his Kovitz Mamorim, he said that what does it mean that you shouldn't appoint a rabbi like a shmata? So he says, a shmata is something that people need, but at the same time, nobody wants, right? Meaning, you're going to buy a shmata. Why? Because, oh wow, you should see the shmata that I just bought. No, but Lamai said, when you need a smartut, you need a smartut. So he said that there are people that they don't really want a rav. But at the same time, fashtei, akeila, davav and a rav. What are you going to do? It is what it is, right? It's one of the boxes you have to check off. See, he said, don't appoint a rav that's a smartut. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, she'in noisen tam hogan with the rain. What does it mean? V'loim misarmisen? So these chevre give a tam, but the tam that they give is not a good tam. Okay, what does it mean? Loim b'chamisin? So these are people, Rashi says, shemoinim miloim artami toira. They hold back the reasons that they have. V'loim miturmisin, Rashi says, that already, I don't know what it is. So all of these things, of at least the ones that Rashi said, he does know what they mean, are related to taimim. Either the mahapich the tam, they don't give a tam, they give the wrong tam. The bottom line is, Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Avo, when he would go from Beis Medrash to the Beit Kesar, Nafku Matronisa the Beit Kesar, so the Matronisa of the Beit Kesar would come out, and she would sing for him. This is the song that she would serenade him with. Rabbi Da'ame, this great rabbi, Madbarna Da'umse, this manik, Putsina de Nahira, as she says, he's like a beacon of light because he was very, very handsome. Brich Masich Lishlam, may you come in peace. So they sang for Rab Zera, his niggin. They sang for Rab Ami and Rab Asni, their niggin. And on that note, on the note of singing songs for rabbis, you should know Rab Avo used to get serenaded by the matronisa of the Beit Kesar, this woman. And this is what she would say. Sing, right? Rabbi Da'ame, Madbarna Da'umse, Putsina De Nahaira, I saw the Marsha says that Rabbi Avo was very, very unique. Meaning, we know Rabbi Avo is one of the great Amiram of all time, right? Obviously, anyone that's ever learned the Black Gemara has heard of Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo was also a big askin. There's many Gemaras that talk about the askonos of Rabbi Avo. And it's for that reason that the niggin that was saying for Rabbi Avo was the fact that he was Rabbi Da'ame and he was Madbarna Da'umse. He's like Torah v'gdula b'makam echad. He's Rabbi Da'ame. He's this great rabbi. He's a great Rosh Yeshiva. In addition to that, he's also Madbarna Da'umse. He's also a great askin. He's Isaac B'tzarchei Tzibur. He's also a great manik. So these two hats that Rabbi Avo wore are what this matronisa is referring to in her song. And the Marsha adds a nice knech. He says that Rabbi Avo ki avi osi mi mesifta lebei kesar. Meaning he's going from giving the top shir in the most chosh of the yeshiva to wear to the Beit Kesar. Because these are these two hats that he wore, right? Shades of the Rambam and others, the Abarbanel, right? There's precedent for this in Jewish history. But he's going from the Mesifta, from the Beis Medrash, to the Beit Kesar. Because he's mi Mesifta, so he's Rabbi Da'ame, and he's going to the Beit Kesar, he's Madbarna Da'umse. One other thing that's worth mentioning, also something that we've been mirich about over the years, if you look at Rashi, so Rashi says, Avo is very handsome. He's Butzina Dinahira, Hashem Shayogadol Menoy, Kidam Rina Basaychas Apoyalim, Shufri de Rabbi Avo is me ain Shufri de Rabbi Yochanan. This Rashi right here, Shufri de Rabbi Avo me ain Shufri de Rabbi Yochanan, is mentioned in several places. In Shas, Rashi says it in Ksubas Yudzai. There's different place where Rashi says it, and there's a big problem with this Rashi because there's no Gemara anywhere that says that Shufri de Rabbi Avo is Me'ein Shufri de Rabbi Yochanan. Rashi quotes the Gemara above the Metzia Pei Dalam and Aleph. If you look up above the Metzia Pei Dalam and Aleph, you're not going to find it there. But it's even worse than that. Not only you're not going to find it there, what you're going to find is that the Gemara says Punk Fakert, because the Gemara there goes through the list of the most handsome rabbis of all time, and the Gemara doesn't mention Rabbi Yochanan. I think Gemara says that everyone knows Rabbi Yochanan was so handsome. So Rabbi Yochanan, who's so good looking, how come he's not on that list? And the Gemara says the reason is he didn't have a beard, and because he didn't have a beard, he doesn't make the cut. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan was lehedya omitted from the list. Yet Rashi quotes Shufri de Rabbi Abba, made Shufri de Rabbi Yochanan. Now, to be fair, you see in that Gemara Rabbi Yochanan's handsomeness from the fact that the Gemara asked the Kasha, why is Rabbi Yochanan not on that list? And the Gemara had to come up to a technical reason why the answer is no. But Rashi seems to be quoting a Gemara, Shufri de Rabbi Abba, made Shufri de Rabbi Yochanan. That Gemara, without question, does not exist, and we temporarily return to our regular program, which is the Mishnah. So again, how did the daf start? It started with Smichas Kein, Machlikas Rabbi Shimon, whether it requires three or five members of the Sanhedrin Agad, but three or five. From there, we digress to smicha, right? By the way, smicha skenim is not what we refer to as smicha, even though it feels like it a little bit. The Gemara said smicha is mismach sabi, which sounds like smicha skenim. It's really two different things. There's smicha, and there's smichas skenim. The Mishnah then discussed egla rufa and said, as it relates to the egla rufa, that process, it too required Dayanim, how many? It too is a machlokes Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, and it's the same numbers. The Zelber Rabbi Shimon that said smicha skenim is b'shloisha says arifas egla is b'shloisha, and the same Rabbi Yehuda that said b'chamisha says here too it has to be b'chamisha. So again, egla rufa according to Rabbi Shimon is b'shloisha, according to Rabbi Yehuda it's b'chamisha, and the Gemara now is going to get involved in the drushes. Why three? Why five? Zok the Gemara Tanu Rabbanan. It says in the pasuk, v'yotzus keinecha v'shaiftecha umadedu el ha'orim asher svivois hechalo. The whole battleground is going to be this pasuk right here. So again, v'yotzus keinecha v'shaiftecha z'keinecha shnayim v'shaiftecha shnayim, right? Z'keinecha, not z'okein, z'keinecha is a lashon rabim, as a shaiftecha. So you have four vein bez and shok, meisif and le'maydech, rin k'chamish div Rabbi Yehuda. 2 plus 2 can never be an even number, that's a yeah, 5. Rabbi Shimon says, z'keinecha shnayim, vein bez and shok, meisif and le'maydech, rin k'an shloisha. So Rabbi Yehuda darshin z'keinecha and shaiftecha, Rabbi Shimon only darshin z'keinecha. So what's the shiloh? Do you darshin shaiftecha or not? Rabbi Shimon hay shaiftecha mayavad. Rabbi Shimon doesn't darshin shaiftecha, why not? Sounds like he's using it for something else. So it's coming to teach me that these members have to be from the Sanhedrin Agadol. I know that from Shaiftecha, the Miuchadim of the Shaiftecha. Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara, has he know that? Mizikne skeinecha nafka. He knows it from the fact that it didn't say zikne, it said skeinecha. So from skeinecha you learn number 1, 2. You also learn that they have to be from the Sanhedrin Agadol. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Shimon, why doesn't he learn it from zikne skeinecha? He says, I'll tell you what, because he zikne had it only said zikne, haven't been in zikne asho. Kosev rachmona skeinecha viksiv skeinecha. And even now that it already says the word skeinecha, haven't been in Sanhedrin Ketana. That only teaches me Sanhedrin Ketana. Kosev rachmona v'shoivtecha mimiuchadim. I need Shaiftecha to teach me Yuchadim Sheva Shaiftecha Sanhedrin Agadol. Because even though Skeinecha, you're right, teaches me more than just older people, not Ziknei Ashut, but maybe from the Sanhedrin Akaton. How do I know from the Sanhedrin Agadol that I only know? Because it says Shaiftecha Rabbi Yehuda. So to Gemara, how does Rabbi Yehuda respond to that? So Gemara says, you're right. Skeinecha itself would technically be a you can't tell me that you need Shaiftecha to teach me. Rabbi Yehuda knows miuchadim shebeshaiftecha from the fact that it says zikne here, and it says zikne by smichas kein. Malahalon miuchadim shebeedo. Just like over there, it's miuchadim shebeedo. Afkan so to over here, miuchadim shebezeknecha. I know it's miuchadim shebezeknecha. Again, so Yehuda darshin shoivtecha and skeinecha are 2 plus 2. Reb Shimon said, no, shoivtecha teaches me miuchadim shebezeknecha. I needed to teach me Sanhedrin Agadol. Rabbi Yehuda's response was, I can know that from Skeinecha. Rabbi Shimon said, no, you can't. Rabbi Yehuda says, Maskin, you can't. How then do I know it? I know it from the Gzeir Shavah, Ziknei Ziknei. But the point is, I don't need Shaiftecha for it. Thus, Shaiftecha is extra. And if Shaiftecha is extra, from the word Shaiftecha, I'm going to know an additional 2. Says the Gemara, if you're telling me, Rabbi Yehuda, that you know that the Dayanim that were engaged in the Egla Arufa had to be from the Sanhedrin Agadol, from Gzeir Shavar, from Smichas Kenim. That means you have Gzeir Shavar from Smichas Kenim. If that's the case, Iyalef, Leilef Kula Mehasam. Then why don't you learn everything from there? Rabbi Yehuda holds 5 Dayanim by Egla Arufa. He holds 5 Dayanim by Smichas Kenim. Once he has Gzeir Shavar that teaches me one from the other, so learn the Gansa Maisa from there. So and if that's the case, Skeinecha v'Shevtecha Lamali. I shouldn't need Skeinecha, I shouldn't need Shevtecha either. Elul Gemara says, you're right. Vav v'shoif techa l'minyan. You have to say there's really no gzeirah shava. And if there's no gzeirah shava, how does Rabbi Yehuda know that you need Sanhedrin Agadol for the Agla Rufa? You know it from the word shoif techa, which is the same place that Rabbi Shimon knows it from. If that's the case, has Rabbi Yehuda have five dayanim? According to Rabbi Shimon, skeinechas two, can't be an even number, you end up with three. I shoif techa, I need that to know that Sanhedrin Agadol. Rabbi Yehuda, initially we thought, learns from shoif techa too. But after further review, he can't learn it from shoif techa, because he needs shoif techa for the same thing that Rabbi Shimon needs shoif techa for. So how does he know five? It's from the vav. It says, this yatsu skeinecha v'shoif techa. The vav teaches me two plus another two. Rabbi Shimon vav loy darish. Rabbi Shimon doesn't darish in vavs. By the way, bottom toys on the yomid has a whole arichas. Is this like a general rule? Rabbi Shimon never darish in vavs. We have raid bites on this too. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Tosfos says it depends. But in this sugya al kaponim, he does in darshan vavs. Says the Gemara, Elamayat, let me ask you a question. So again, what's the bottom line? Let's just come up for breath here a little bit. It was a dot confusing. According to Reb Shimon, how many dayanim do you need for the Agla Rufa? Three. According to Reb Yehuda, five. How does Reb Shimon know three? Skeinecha, two. Can't be an even number. It ends up being three. How does Reb Shimon know five? It says skeinecha and the vav of this shoif techa. Why don't we darshan shoif techa? Because then I need to know that the three or the five members have to be members of the Sanhedrin Agol. But the point is, we're darshaning all the plural in this pasuk. El miyatei bazoi v'yatsu. The beginning of the pasuk says v'yatsu skenecha v'shoif techa should be shnayim another two. And umadadu, when it says that they're going to measure shnayim, should be another two. And if that's the case, Rabbi Yehuda kantisha and Rabbi Shimon shiva. So it should be another four. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you should end up with 5 plus 4, which is 9. According to Rabbi Shimon, it should be 3 plus 4, which is 7. Says the Gemara, no, you want to know why you can't darshan v'yatsu umadadu? Because ahumi boyle chedetanya, you need those two words for the following price of v'yatsu hevel shluchan. The word v'yatsu teaches me that they themselves have to go, but you can't send a shliach umadadu shafilo nimtza ba'alil le'ir tzarech lasis b'medina. It comes to teach me that you always have to measure, and even if it's very clear where this corpse is closest to, right? What was the idea of measuring? You want to see what city it's closest to. So even if it's ba'alil, it's so klar, you still, from the word umadadu, we learn that you have to do it. The bottom line is, there's nothing extra about the yatsu umadadu, and if there's nothing extra, you can't learn nothing from it. It's up to Gemara. Masisa like haitan unzer mishnah. The shita of Reb Shimon that says Egla Ruf is b'shloish, the shita of Reb Yudit says b'chamisha, are both not like the following time. Meaning, there's a third shita. The time we learn to the Brisa, Blazim Yaakov said, Yotzu skeinecha v'shoif techa, skeinecha zu Sanhedrin, v'shoif techa zem melech v'koyin gadol. Wow, you need the Sanhedrin, you need the melech, and you need the Kohen Gadol for Egla Rufa. Melech, how do I know melech from the word v'shoif techa? Dichsiv melech b'mishpat yamid eretz. And Kohen Gadol, how do I know Kohen Gadol from the word v'shoif techa? Dichsivu basal kayanim alavim ve'ela shoifet. So I know from the word v'shoif techa, Sanhedrin, I know melech, and I know Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, eat boyolo. The Gemara wants to understand Shitas Reb Lezer ben Yaakov a little bit better. Two ways to understand this. Reb Lezer ben Yaakov b'chada polig, is he arguing on one thing or is he arguing on two things? And the Gemara explains. What did Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov said? He said, you need the Sanhedrin, you need the Melech, and you need the Kohen Gadol. So obviously he's arguing, because the Mishnah, there's no mention of Melech and Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov is saying, you need the Melech and the Kohen Gadol. But the question is, when he says Sanhedrin, is he arguing there too, or is he not arguing there? When he says Sanhedrin, does he mean three or five, but they have to be members of the Sanhedrin, which was the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon? We learned it from the Shoif Techa. Or maybe he's arguing on two. He's arguing regarding Sanhedrin as well. The Amar, because we know what he's saying, Kulo Sanhedrin, the Inon, that you have to have the entire Sanhedrin. So is he arguing on one point, or is he arguing on 2 points? Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov is clearly arguing, saying you need the Melech and the Kohen Gadol. Is he also saying you need the entire Sanhedrin, or not? Now, he said Sanhedrin. Yeah, but maybe Sanhedrin just means three or five, and they should be members of the Sanhedrin. I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Tashma, I'll bring you right from a Braisa. The Braisa is discussing the Zaki Mamre. So who's a Zaki Mamre? He's someone that's very qualified. He's qualified to be a member of the Sanhedrin. He then publicly goes and issues a psak kineged the Sanhedrin. He's a Zaken Mamre. He's treated mamish from the worst people in the Torah, right? Because when you undermine the Sanhedrin, you're undermining the Messiah, you're undermining everything. But the bottom line is, the Zaken Mamre is someone that undermines a psak of the Sanhedrin. Says the Braisa Motzen Abeis Pagi, what would be if the Zokin Mamre met the Sanhedrin Abeis Pagi? So Rashi says, what was Beis Pagi? Mokim Lefnim Michoy Mesoir. So it's somewhere within the walls of the city of Yerushalayim. What we need to know is, it wasn't in the Azara. So they're like on a field trip, the Sanhedrin, and he bumps into them. Vehim Ra'aleyem, and he heard a psak, and he went against them, and he became a Zakim Mami. Yochel Te'am Ra'aseh Amra. You would think he's a Zakim Mami. Tamalim, it says in the Pasuk, Ve'kamta Va'aliso El Hamakoyim, and we learn from there, this is in the parish of Zakim Mami, Melamed Shamakim Goyim, that the only time someone becomes a Zakim Mami is when he goes connected to the Sanhedrin, but when the Sanhedrin issued their psak in the Makim. They were in the Lichkas HaGozes, they were in the Andazar. So the background to this halacha, we need the background, not the actual halacha, is somebody bumps into the Sanhedrin. We're outside of Dazar. So the Gemara says, the Nafakam. First of all, how many members of the Sanhedrin did he meet? Elam and Miktsasim, did he meet some of them? Can't be, because then you would never be a Zakim Mamre anyways. We wouldn't be having this conversation. He is a Zakim Mamre, he's not a Zakim Mamre. If you're Mamre against some members of the Sanhedrin, you don't become a Zakim Mamre. Why? Because Dilma Hanuch the Ikka Gavoy, Kanik Havaseh. You're only a Zakim Mamre if you go against the consensus. But if the ones that are back agree with what the Zakim Mamre said, he wouldn't be a Zakim Mamre anyways. Ela Pshita, the Gemara says, it's obvious. If you know anything about Zakim Mamre, you know this. The Nafakula has to be that the entire Sanhedrin was there. Lamai. Why was the entire Sanhedrin not based Pagi? Even with Varishos. Is it because they went on a field trip? Can't be. Mi Matsu Nafki? Are they allowed to go? Vaksniv, it's a pasuk. It says, Shorerech Hagan Hasar Al Yechser Hamozek. It's a pasuk at Shirashirim. And Rashi quotes a Gemara later on Daf Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph that teaches us from this pasuk that the entire Sanhedrin's never allowed to leave. You have to make sure you always have a Sanhedrin Kitana, at the very least 23 Dayanim that are going to be left in the Lishkas Hagos. If it's for Advar Rishos. Not for Advar Mitzvah, they can leave. But for Advar Rishos. El Pshita, this is also Pashal Advar Mitzvah. Meaning it's Pashal. Pshita. That this Zakin Mamre who bumped into the Sanhedrin, he bumped into the entire Sanhedrin and they were there for a Dvar Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Hey Chidami, what's an example of the entire Sanhedrin leaving the Lishkas HaGozes for a Dvar Mitzvah? Lav l'medidas Egla, probably to measure the Egla Rufa. But who holds you need the entire Sanhedrin for the Egla Rufa? Shimon says three Dayanim, members of the Sanhedrin, but only three, who decide, oh, must be of Elazar ben Yaakov. It's going to Elazar ben Yaakov, who said Sanhedrin, and when he said Sanhedrin, you know what he must have meant? The entire Sanhedrin. Upalik betarti. Oh, must be. It's Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Oh, could the Sanhedrin be? Oh, isn't this a geshmaka raya? Who said this? Rav Yosef. Abaya told him, maybe they went out for a Dvar Mitzvah. True, it's the entire Sanhedrin, and they went for a Dvar Mitzvah. But Lav Dafka, the Dvar Mitzvah was Egla Rufa. Maybe the Dvar Mitzvah was something else. It was to be Moisif on the city and the Azores. And it's based on our Mishnah. Sanhedrin da Bezam and Aleph. Ein Moisif and Alo Irval Azores. Elo Bebezin Shal Shivin Ve'echot. So maybe that was the reason. Lav Dafka was Egla Rufa. Could be nobody holds. You need the entire Sanhedrin for the Egla Rufa. Zokta Gemara. Even though it was a Machloikis Rav Yosef and Abaya. Whether or not, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you need the entire Sanhedrin of Egla Rufa or not, Tanya Kavasad Rav Yosef, a braisa that supports Rav Yosef. Matzan Abbas Pagi Bim Ralim. Keep going. You ready? Sheyotzu l'medidas egla furish. L'hoisef alo ir v'alo azar. Tzoch te'am rosa emra. Tamadoy b'vcham tov lisa l'mokim v'lamet sh'amokim goyim. This is an example of another braisa that adds one word, right? The braises are always lengthier than the mishnayis, but even within the braises, there's different nuances in different braises. This braisa has one nuance, one knach that the previous braisa didn't have. It adds the word l'medidas egla, which is a tanya kavos hidir av yosnef, not like the dichoy of Abaya exhales. As it relates to rape, so much happening in this daf. Two horrors. The first horror is, the Gemara said that Rabbi Yochanan have a mitzvah leder Rabbi Shemin bar Abba, to lay havi gabayo the lismachid. Rabbi Yochanan very much wanted to give smicha to Rabbi Shemin bar Abba, but it wasn't working out. He was never buying, and because he was never buying, he couldn't give him smicha. And the Gemara brought a raya from this story that smicha only works if the soymech and the nismach are together. But if they're not together, the smicha doesn't work. Mar told another story. Reb Shimon ben Zirud v'chad imi manu Reb Yonson ben Achmoy. V'amilo Reb Yonson ben Achmoy v'chad imi manu Reb Shimon ben Zirud. Were also two people that Rabbi Yochanan wanted to give smicha to. One of them Rabbi Yochanan was able to give, the other one wasn't able to, and the reason is because one was bayim, the other wasn't. And again, this is another tashma, that the only time smicha works is if the smicha and the nismach are together with each other. Then the Gemara told the story. The Gemara said, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Hoshia also have a komishtakid Rabbi Yochanan l'mismachinu. Rabbi Yochanan very badly tried giving smicha to, but it was never working out, and he was very bitzar. So they came to Rabbi Yochanan, they said, Rebbe, don't be bitzar. You want to know why the smicha is not working? It's nothing to do with you. It's because we come from Beis Eli, and there's a curse on the members of the family of Eli that they could never get smicha. Meaning, even if they're mayrich yomim enough to be of the age of smicha, abalamaisa lamaisa, this is something that's never going to work out, and it's for that reason he told them, don't feel bad, this has nothing to do with you, this is all about us. It's because of the fact that we come from Beis Eli. I saw Rabbi Margolis here in Margolis Sayam. He says that as it relates to Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Hoshia, who Rabbi Yochanan tried giving smicha to V'lo Yistayim Milsa, the Gemara makes a big deal about it. The Gemara gives us the reason why. Meaning, why didn't it work out? They told him, because Anam in the Beis Eli Kasina. But as it relates to Rabbi Shemin Bar Abba, who Rabbi Yochanan also very much was mitzar allowed to give smicha to, there, the Gemara doesn't give a reason why it is that it didn't work out. So we know why it was Loyestaya Milsa for Rav Chanina and Rav Hoshia to get smicha. It's because they were from Beis Eli. But as it relates to Rav Shem and Bar Abba, there the Gemara didn't give a reason. So it says Rav Ruvim Margolis, and if you want to look it up, it's right here, Sanhedrin Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. It's Ois Yud Gim. So he says, I'm going to tell you a Davar Nifla. And maybe we can on our own do some investigative work and figure out what the reason is. The Gemara says in Masechtas Ksubis, Daf Chof Gimel Amid Aleph, Hani Shfu Yosa Da Asin Lin Harda. They were captives, women that were taken into captivity that arrived in Harda. Oisev Avuah De Shmuel Natur Ba'adayo. And Avuah De Shmuel, as in Shmuel's father, he appointed Shoyrim and he said, watch these women, make sure that they remain tar, then nobody violates them. Amalei Shmuel, so Shmuel was there. And he said, Va'ad ho'idna manatrinu. Says, tell me. And until now, nobody was watching them, right? So you don't know if they're tar or they're not tar. So make sure nobody violates them. They will probably violate it anyways, right? A shvuya is usually b'cheska zayna. So if that's the case, what do you mean watch them? It's shen tzushpeit. Amalei. So Avu Deshmuel told his son, tell me, ilu bantzachavyan. If these girls were your daughters, me have a mezalzabu kulehai, would you talk this way? You would say that for sure, Zoinus, what's the difference? No reason to watch them. You know you would never say that. So the Gemara says, Avu de Shmuel uttered those words to his son Shmuel, and Havoi kishkogo sheyotza melifnei ashalit, v'eshtabion bonsei demar Shmuel, because Avu de Shmuel said, can you imagine if they were your daughters? All of a sudden, bris crucilis fasayin, Shmuel's daughters were taken into captivity. V'askinu la'arad the Yisrael. And they were taken from the Hardog, which is where Shmuel lived, all the way to Eretz Yisrael. In the meantime, these shvuyos were able to somehow sneak away, and they ran into the Beis Medrash. Ha Amra, the first of Shmuel's daughters, ran into the Beis Medrash and said, Nishpesi, I was taken into captivity. V'tahirani, but you should know I'm tar. V'ha Amra, the other one said the same thing. Nishpesi, I was taken into captivity. V'tahirani, and you should know that I'm tar. Sharinu and Reb Chanina heard what they said. He was mad to them. This is your classic Pesha, Asa Pesha, Yitter. Nishpesi, v'tahirani, dalachas, they were mutter. Saif, ul, asishuv, yon. Lamaisa, these girls, they came, and they spent more time in the Beis Medrash. The captors came in, and Igloi Milsa the Bonsei the Mashmul Havin. They figured out afterwards that these girls were none other than the daughters of the great Shmuel. So Amalei Reb Chanina Reb Shem Bar Abba. So Reb Chanina turned to Reb Shem Bar Abba, and he said, "Puk itapel bekrevoisaych. I want you to go marry them. Go marry one of them." Amalei, he says, "I should marry one of them." He says, "What do you mean? Maybe they're Tmeim." He says, "She sent the space if it's any." But he responded and he says, "But I know this Eidim Ibdina Sayam." And Reb Chanina responds the famous words, "Eidim Bitzad Astam Viteyaser." I'll learn this over here. But the bottom line is, this is the story. So Shmuel's daughters were taken into captivity. They said Nishpesi v'tahirani. And when they figured out that they were Shmuel's daughters, Reb Chanina tells Reb Shemin Bar Abba, "Puk itapel b'kroy v'soich. Go marry one of them. Marry one of your kroy." Says Reb Ruvim Margolis, I'm going to take out one thing from this Gemara, that Reb Shemin Bar Abba is related to Shmuel. Right? It's Mefurish. Amalei Reb Chanilu Reb Shemin Bar Abba, when he hears that they're Shmuel's daughters, took itapel b'kroivay soich, go now and be metapel, marry your kroivim. So Rav Shimon bar Abba and Shmuel are related. Said Rav Margolis, let me tell you another Gemara. This Gemara is above a Metzia, da pehei am a base. It's in the thick of the Agadat Gemara in Asoich HaSapoyelim. Shmuel Yarchina asked the Rebbe Havre. The famous Shmuel, was also a doctor. He was Rebbe's doctor. Remember where it talks about Rebbe who wasn't well, and who was his doctor? Was the great Shmuel. Cholash Rebbe be'enei. And Rebbe had something bothering with his eye. Amalei, so Shmuel said, imali loch sama. He said, let me put a little bit of refuah, let me put some medication into your eye. Amalei, and he said, lo yochilna. He says, I can't, it's too painful for me. Ishtalam, mishtar. See, he said, I have a way of doing it where it's not going to hurt you so much. Amale lo yachilna. He says, I'm telling you, this is too painful, I can't do it. Either way, the Gemara goes on and says that because of the Akaras HaToiv that Rebbe had for Shmuel, because he was his doctor, he was treating him, he wanted to give him smicha, but it didn't work. Amalesa Shmuel told Rebbe, don't feel bad. Because I saw in the book of Adam Arishon, and it says like this, Shmuel Yarchina Chakim Yiskerei. Shmuel's going to be known as a Chacham, but Rebbe lo Yiskerei. He's never going to have Smicha. And it also says that I'm going to be your doctor, by the way. But it was already decreed in the Sefer of Adam Arishon, Shmuel said, that I am never going to have Smicha. So Rebbe tried giving Smicha to Shmuel, but it didn't work out. The question is why? Why not? Why couldn't Shmuel get smicha? So it was decreed in the Sefer of Adam Arishon. Abba so why? So the Seyda Adoris, if you take a look at Erech Shmuel, says the Seyda Adoris, Ulai Bamei Eli, and Lochein Loi Nismach. Could be the reason Shmuel never got smicha is because he came from Eli. Now we know Shmuel was a Kayin. Throughout Shas, Shmuel was a Kayin. But maybe he wasn't just a Kayin. Maybe he came from Eli. And then he says, Kediz a Perakam of the Sanhedrin. And there's a precedent that somebody that comes from Eli can't get smicha. Where do you see that? The Gemara that we just learned said Rabbi from Margolis, this is back of the envelope arithmetic. Reb Shemin bar Abba is kroive de Shmuel. How do we know that? That subestav chav gimel amir aleph. Shmuel never got smicha. How do we know that? Bav mitzia pei vav amir aleph. And Shmuel, the Seyda Adoris, quoting the Sefer Yuchsin, suggested maybe he came from Eli. What would be the basis for that? We know he's a Kayin, and we see that the Smicha didn't knock, and you see in Sanhedrin Yudal Ramanav. So he says, could be that's the reason it didn't work out for him, Shem Barabi either, because he's related to Shmuel. It could be he was related to Mitzad Ha'av. He's also from Beis Eli. It's Myridik. This is the rest of the story. The Gemara didn't say it, because the Gemara just said it, because they told it Mefurish to Rabbi Yechanan. Abel Amais, at the end of the day, it's just a little, all you have to know is Shas. And if you have Shas on your fingertips, it's actually pretty easy. And this all falls into place. This is the first Ha'ara. The second Ha'ara is Rav Reuven Margolis, here in Margolis Ayam, he quotes, he just says an ayin. He says, take a look in Shailas Uchuvis Marchash, Chela Gimel, Simin Memtes. I thought this was fascinating. So who is the Marchash? Shailas Uchuvis Marchash. So Rav Chash was Reb Chaim Shapsi. He was born in the mid-1500s, passed away in the mid-1600s. He had Arichas Yomim. And he lived in Saloniki, or some refer to it as Thessaloniki, or some people just say Salonika. But Saloniki is in Greece. Greece. He was from Yavon. This is where he came from. He came from Greece. Now, to be clear, there was a very, very large Jewish community in Greece, literally for millennia, but it thrived from the time of the Spanish Inquisition in 1492 until Hitler, Yimach Shemoy Vizichrei, and the Nazis wiped out the entire community. So the community was going strong literally until the Holocaust, and he wiped it out. But if you know a little bit of the history of the Greek Jews, so they were very, very prominent Gedolei Yisrael that came from that world. The El Yerabba, the Lechem Mishnah, if you go through the list, there's some first ballot Gedolei Yisrael that came from that community in Saloniki. One of them was the Marchash, who was the author of the Shailos HaTshuvos, Teiras Chaim, this great Yid, whose name was Reb Chaim Shapsi. Either way, in Chelo Gimel Simen Memtes, he was asked the following question. Nidrashti la'asher sha'aluni al misha kar lo adam kosher va'amar b'loshen las mataldu a'ishti. So it seems that somebody went over to somebody and he referred to him as mataldu a'ishti, which means oisei ho'ish. Ma oinshoy. What's his punishment? So in English, somebody went over to somebody, called him oisei yoish. Do you get punished or do you not get punished? What is the punishment? So he said that my first hashkafa on this was, it's a Gemara, Kedushin Chav Chesam Aleph. Hakaru l'chaveri eved, if somebody calls his friend an eved, yehei ben nidoy. Mamzer, if somebody calls his friend a mamzer, seifik es arba. If somebody calls his friend a Roshna, yoyredim elechayev. So he says, if that's the case, if somebody calls his friend oisei yoish, which means, this is all davar b'itay, right? So if somebody calls his friend oisei yoish, which means yeshe hanoitzri, so there's no question. He's like someone that calls someone an eved, a mamza, a Roshna, and he's going to be yoyredim elechayev. This is his tshuva, and he has a whole arichas. So why did Rav Margolis tell you to look here? And it's a very nice tshuva, and it's somewhat timely, but what does that have to do with us? Right? Why is he telling you to take a look here? Because Toich Dvarav, he says a davar nifla. He says, don't say that maybe when this person referred to him as Oisei Yoish, he didn't mean Yeshaya Noitzri. Maybe he meant a different Oisei Yoish. Who's that Oisei Yoish? He says, take a look at the Gemara, Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Brum. Zocher oisei ho'ish la'toif. For Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Shemoy, Shemolehu nishtakhu dine knasas v'yisro. He says, maybe the oisei ho'ish that he was referring to was Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. There's no way that's what he means. He says, because stam oisei ho'ish is yeshe ha'noitzri. And he says, if he would have said oisei ho'ish zocher la'toif, oh, he's giving him the greatest compliment in the world. He's calling him Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. But that's not what he said. He said stam oisei ho'ish. And because he said stam oisei ho'ish, he means, for sure, Yeshe Anoitzri, and he's totally in that Gemara, Kedusha Chavchezav and Aleph, figure out which one of those boxes he falls into, and boom, and this we're going to punish him, meet the Geneged Mido accordingly, Ayin Shav. So this is the great Pekiyas of Rav Margolis, where he's telling to this tshuva from the Marchash, that there's a Havamina, that when this guy called someone Oisei Ish, who is he really referring to? Who's the Oisei Ish? The Oisei Ish is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. But then Rav Margolis says, you know, it occurred to me something very, very interesting. There's another Gemara. All famous Gemaras. There's a Gemara Bava Basra Daf Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Brom Zocher Oisei Yoish LaToiv VYeshua Ben Gamla Shemoi. Shemolehu Nishtakcha Torah MiYisrael. So Yeshua Ben Gamla, where it not for him was Nishtakcha Torah MiYisrael, and we refer to him too as Oisei Yoish. Brom Zocher Oisei Yoish LaToiv. Says, there's another Gemara. Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Brom Zocher Oisei Yoish LaToiv VeChananya Ben Chizkiya Shemoi. Shemolehu Nignas Sefer Yecheskel. Three people that you find are referred to as Oisei Yoish, and Shemolehem Nishtakcha Torah MiYisrael. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava, regarding Dine Knossos, here in Sanhedrin, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, he kept smicha within Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Yeshua Ben Gamla, Umolehu Nishtakcha Torah MiYisrael, Brom Zocha Oisei Yoish LaToiv, and Chananya Ben Chizkiya, Shemolehu Nigna Seif Yecheskel, and what's he referred to as Oisei Yoish? So Rabbi Reuven Margolis, just in one line, says, it's so interesting that the Marchash somehow saw in Oisei Ho'ish some sheiches to Oisei Ho'ish. Ad kidei kach, that guy who called his friend Oisei Ho'ish, maybe he wasn't really saying something bad. Maybe he was referring to this Oisei Ho'ish. But then Reuven Margolis, he just says one line. He says, v'zelo umazeh. Could be this is all zelo umazeh. That Oisei Ho'ish is Yeshe Anoitzri. And Yeshe Anoitzri is the one who was Mishakeach Torah. How much Shikchas HaTorah is Yeshe HaNoitzi responsible for? For the forced conversions and the burnings of the Talmud, etc., etc. It's unfathomable and unconscionable the amount of Shikchas HaTorah that Oisei Yoish was responsible for. Zelo Umazeh, all these Yidden, Sh'omoleihem Nishtakcha Torah MiYisrael, they go down as Oisei Yoish as well. It's the Oisei Yoish Mitzad HaKdusha. We're leaving a lot of raid on the table. We're saying this every single day. Be'ezah Hashem, we're going to get back to it. But for now, we're going to stop here.